No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley, and we just witnessed the Indianapolis Colts finish out the preseason beating the Cincinnati Bengals 7-6. And this is finally over. Preseason is done, over with. Now we look forward to a massive amount of cutdowns throughout the NFL. We did get to see a little bit of, you know, some nice stuff from some of the guys that came on. I know that probably a large percentage of you guys did not watch this game, and I can't blame you because it was pretty impossible to watch at times, especially with Anthony Walker in there for the majority of his snaps. And there just wasn't a lot to get excited about. It was actually easier to flip back and forth to the Hoosiers game, probably, if it was you guys, or just stay at the Hoosiers game against the Buckeyes. But I had to watch this because I really wanted to see some of the guys that were going to be in the running for, you know, coming into these last six or seven probably roster spots. And, you know, I didn't really see a whole lot that I didn't expect to see. So I'll run through some of my notes, touch on some of the better parts of the game and some of the guys that, who had, you know, some pretty nice performances to kind of finish out the preseason. First and foremost, it was nice to see Sean Spence back in action. I don't know if this puts him back into the running for the roster or not. I would like to think so because I think Spence is one of the better linebackers they've got. I still think he's better than Bostic. I think that when you get a guy who is like Spence, who has the speed, who can recover in coverage, who can go after the quarterback like that, and can also stop the run, as small as he is, Spence is not a big guy. But Spence can stop the run effectively, and there's just some things that he does that, you know, Bostic simply cannot do. And I know Bostic is going to make this roster. They're very high on Bostic, but my opinion is that Sean Spence is a better linebacker to begin with. So, and I think he's probably more likely to stay injury free, as weird as that sounds, that he's been out for a few weeks. Outside of him possibly re-injuring, you know, his lower body or a hamstring or something like that again, or just whatever, you know, Bostic seems to be the guy who's more injury prone, more prone to kind of going way by the wayside as the season progresses and kind of losing any of the spark that he brought in the preseason. That's kind of his deal. At least that's what I've, you know, been told by Bears fans and so on and so forth. So I'm looking forward to seeing if Spence can possibly break into this roster. I'd really like that. I think that he's a good football player. I would enjoy watching him on Sundays. We saw Corey White and a couple other guys who had just come back to the team or just come to the gotten to the team play a little bit. White missed a couple tackles, you know, one for about 5 yards deep in the backfield. All he had to do was throw his hands around the guy's legs, and the guy bounced right off of him. Jeremiah George forced a fumble and recovered, and it was recovered by Hightower. Schwenke got a lot of time at center today, and that was good because they, you know, if you guys did watch the game, then you heard that they were talking about it, that they had to get him in game shape because the season's only a week and a half away for, you know, the first game for the Colts is. And it was important for them to give him a lot of reps. I'm glad that they did that. He looked, you know, pretty spotty at times. He looked okay in others. But the idea behind all of this is that he needed reps, and he needed a lot of them. So they gave him those. He's definitely a better starter than Deshaun Bond or Adam Redman at center. And so that probably is ultimately the end for at least one and possibly both of their opportunities to make this roster, as far as I'm concerned. I think Bond probably makes the practice squad just because he does have that experience through the preseason at starting at center when all the other guys were out. And he's, you know, he's a guard, actually. So if they liked what he brought, then they'll probably keep him around on the practice squad because I don't see him necessarily going anywhere else. Fourth down conversion on slant to Bray early in the game from Tolzien. That was nice to see. Bray, nice catch, get upfield. Looked like he got dinged a little bit, but he got up fine, you know, kind of shook it off. It was interesting to see that they had Denzel Good starting at right tackle and Clark at left tackle. Now, here's kind of my deal. I always have always thought that Good looked better at tackle than he did guard. I've said this all since last year. I didn't understand why they put him in at guard. I felt like he was a better, you know, and maybe it was because Wrights was starting there, but I still felt Good was a better fit at tackle. At guard, he was brand new to the position for the most part. Don't know that he'd ever played there, even in college. But it just seemed like it took him out of his comfort zone when they moved him into guard. They moved him out to right tackle tonight to play, and then, you know, he looked pretty good. He maintained the pocket, was able to kick the edge rushers out a little bit. While on the opposite end of the line, LaRaven Clark, they moved him to left tackle. Same thing that they did to Good. Look, I understand trying to find a guy's versatility, finding a guy's worth to where he can move around, but he's not a left tackle. He does not look, I don't even know how to explain it, but it is very much, it's almost like throwing right hand for your entire career and then trying to throw left-handed. He just looks awkward at left tackle. He doesn't get his right drop. I actually saw some tweet, and I don't remember whose it was, and I'm not trying to poke fun or anything, but it said that he thought that he looked more natural at left tackle. I do not agree with that whatsoever. He doesn't look like he can, because he has to turn his shoulders. He's got to get his natural drop. He's natural at right tackle. At left tackle, he looked awkward. He did not look like he knew where he was, you know, supposed to be. He couldn't really decide whether to pick up the inside or outside rush. And so I just felt like he's just, I don't know why they are messing with him. If you don't think that he's a starter, that's fine. But he's a right tackle. And there's other guys that you can move over to left tackle if you feel. Now, I understand trying him out there, but using him there continuously throughout the preseason to me kind of seemed like a waste of time, because you're ultimately not giving him the time at right tackle that he needs to get better at, where he's, you know, more natural of playing at. So there's a couple thoughts on that. I just didn't feel that was, you know, overly intelligent. There was a lot of things going on as far as in the secondary. I thought that Quincy Wilson looked pretty good, made some nice tackles. There was something, you know, interesting about that, you know, Rashawn Melvin didn't play, that I saw anyways. I'm pretty sure that he didn't play at all. And they also didn't play Hairston. And I thought that that pretty much seals Hairston's fate as the starter, or as one of the starters, at least one of the three starters at corner. When you have Melvin, Quincy, and Hairston, I mean, common sense probably tells you that Hairston's going to start in the nickel. And that's great for me, because that was a guy that I had high hopes for coming in, you know, after being drafted. Not that I had a ton of tape on him or that I'd watched a lot, but I was just hopeful for him to come in and make a difference, because look, two corners, right? You know, you like Quincy. I watched a lot on him. You hadn't seen a lot of Hairston, so I wasn't real sure what to expect from him, but I was hopeful for him because I wanted two solid corners out of this draft. And it looked like Hairston could be, you know, a nice pickup, a really nice draft out of this. And if Quincy Wilson, you know, can reach his ceiling of what we expect to get out of him, then this secondary could be well on its way to being in good shape for the future. So I was really excited to see that. That was one of the positives I thought that came out of this preseason. And it went a long way towards, you know, making me feel a little more comfortable for the future at cornerback, with Vontae old, hurt often, fights through a lot of these injuries, no doubt about it. And he's a guy who's going to be here this year. He's not a guy that they're, you know, thinking of doing anything with now. They'd save a lot of money, but what are they going to use that money on? You know, there's not a lot of high dollar guys that are going to become available unless they were to do some swing of some sort of a trade where they'd end up eating a ton of somebody's contract. And I just don't see that as possible or anything that they'd want to do this year. He may not get re-signed next year, and that's fine. But I think right now letting go of him or anything like that, and I'm only bringing this up because it's been brought up several times, actually. And I just think that that would kind of put a stunt in the growth of the secondary with a guy like that, with that much talent, that much experience, that you, if you even thought about doing that with Vontae, then I think that that would probably be a major issue towards the growth of the rest of the secondary. If he's the one or one of the pieces that are helping train these guys and helping them get their skills kind of smoothed out, that could be an issue. Chris Colliver looked okay at sometimes. He had a really nice breakup on a deep ball, excellent timing to get his hand up and make the knock the ball away. But, you know, only one play later, and this is kind of how sporadic some of these guys are on the Colts right now, One play later, tackles at the shoulder pads with his hands. Doesn't even look like he's really going after the ball carrier, but it looked awful. And I just couldn't understand. I can't stand watching that. When I see guys go after the shoulder pads with their hands, with no form tackling whatsoever, it looks like in their arsenal. I just don't understand their approach to that play ever, especially when they're in one-on-one situation, not being blocked currently by anybody else or anything. And that is just, it's something that rubs me the wrong way consistently. Now, at the beginning of the second quarter, we did get to see Morris come in and take the reins of the quarterback position. And I thought that was interesting because he almost immediately started out with that nice, beautiful, deep bomb to JoJo Natson. Perfect pass. Natson even did a great job. One of the keys for a receiver along the boundary when you're going up the rail is to keep a body on the second or on the cornerback. And when the ball's there, the ball should be on your outside shoulder. You keep yourself attached to that cornerback until you fade out to catch the ball. Natson did that perfectly, gave himself plenty of room to make the catch. Doing so, he gave himself time and space to make a run after the catch. However, Natson got the ball knocked out of his hands and fumbled it, but he was so aware of the situation that he came back in and knocked the ball out. If he'd have touched that ball first, it'd have been illegal touching, and I'm not really sure how that had been ruled because I don't think they could have necessarily called the ball down if it was still unbound. I don't know. I thought about that during the play, and I was trying to figure out how exactly they would call that. My guess is that it would just have been a penalty from the end of the run or something like that. But Natson made a really, really sharp catch later on in the game as well, stretched completely out. He got 1 foot down and a hand, and I don't think that that's good for a catch. I think you've got to have an elbow down for it to be considered two body parts or 2 feet, you know, so to speak. And it, but man, for such a small dude, he looked like he was about 6 feet off the ground, and it was an excellent catch, excellent, you know, way to lay out. It was a terrible throw by Walker at the time, but, you know, Natson continues to show that he's got the ability and that he's willing to go up and get it, you know, that he's kind of fearless. He also had a really nice kick return during the game, and he fumbled again and then muffed a punt. And so now what do we got out of Natson? You know, I mean, Natson has been this guy that I've been talking about, at least, and I think a lot of other people have been too, about what he brings to this team, that he could be that guy who isn't necessarily one of the guys that you think is going to be one of the top receivers, but he offers so much in special teams. He's a quality receiver, good routes, catches the ball nicely. And like I said, when you're using the boundary against a cornerback, you know, he did that to perfection. You know, it's just two fumbles and a muff punt. Is that going to be enough for them to be like, look, man, we can't trust you? I don't know. It's one game. It's a bad game. But, you know, previous to that, he'd been almost perfect throughout. So I think that maybe he'll get, if they were thinking of keeping him, I think that they're going to end up keeping him. He ended up only catching two balls for 56 yards, but he led the team, had four targets, and he also had one kick return for 20 yards, two for 31 from the punt. The 31-yard kick return that he did have was pretty impressive. That was the one that he ended up fumbling later on. Another guy who looked pretty well today was Mingo. Man played hard the entire game. He was excellent in pursuit. Just a lot of fire out of that dude, and I'm really excited to see it. I don't know what we expect from him as far as production from the season, but he's making this team. And I don't know that I've ever not had him on any of my 53-man rosters, but he's always been that guy. It's like, man, he offers a lot in special teams. He's doing a lot right now in the pass rush because a lot of guys aren't doing much in the pass rush. And I'm kind of impressed with him. He's not one of the most physical guys. He's a little leaner than a lot of the guys that are more power. But he definitely offers the speed. He's improved his secondary pass rush move. And that's something that you have to be excited about going forward. And is, you know, something that is going to get him on this team without question. Like I said, David Perry, he did nice tonight. Forced a fumble, had some nice tackles. Did a good job basically of just being in pursuit constantly because this running defense was awful. Allowed over 100 and some yards to their running back. And it just looked like, you know, the days of the old. It was just bad, bad news. So stay with me, and we'll be right back with more of the reaction from the Colts finale against the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, there were some more guys, and I want to talk about this because it was something that I made a concerted effort to talk about the other night, and it was Basham. Not doing much, you know, popping for me in the pass rush. Tonight, he had a couple moments that, you know, you saw some burst from him. I saw him make a couple inside moves, although he was out of control, went to the ground. But I also saw a couple of nice outside swim moves and stuff like that from him. That was nice to see. But previous to that, I was watching Sickles quite a bit. And Sickles was showing more burst that, at that point than Basham had. And it wasn't even close. Sickles has continued to be able to hold the edge. Sickles has been able to get some sort of a semblance of pass rush. And, you know, he was pretty active tonight, and I was really impressed with that. I was also impressed with Jeremiah George and Spence flying around. You know, those two looked like guys that were just ready to take somebody's head off. You know, it was just a very impressive. And like I said, Basham had a nice pass rush move early. He had a swim move to the outside and a spin move to the inside, and that was on Mingo's sack. And it was a really nice play for both of them, both on opposite ends of the defensive line. It was really impressive. I was actually pretty excited for those guys both because I want to see some of that from Basham. I want to see the burst, and that's what I haven't seen. Is it because they're simply playing him as an edge setter and solely as such, or is it because he's just not showing it and it's just not, you know, maybe it's not clicking for him right now? I don't know, but I want to see that out of him. I would at least want to see that it's possible so that we know that it's there. And if he doesn't show it, then, you know, maybe it's because he's being used as the strong side and he's being used to set the edge, not the guy who's going to rush the quarterback too often. But I think that from what I saw in his college tape, if they're doing that, they're using him wrong. He is a big, strong guy, but you've got to use him for everything that he's worth. And he's fine. He's good against the run. Let him set the edge a few times, but you can't not let him go after the quarterback. Because that's what he was really good at in college. He had some good moves, fast, very quick off of the snap, and that's what they need to use him for. You can't just let something like that go to waste. You don't do that for talent. I mean, when you have a quarterback that can throw the ball 50 yards, flick of the wrist, you don't let him make him hand the ball off 85 times a game. I mean, that doesn't make any sense, especially if he's accurate, you know. So I was happy to see that from both Mingo and Basham. Both obviously are going to make the team. And now I'm a little more pleased from what I saw out of Basham. Like I said, wasn't all about production from him. I just want to see that he had it. I wanted to see that he got it, that he could do it against other NFL caliber guys. And whether this is scrubs or not for Cincinnati, call it what you want. It, you know, a lot of it was early in the game. Second, backup guys, third string guys, that's all good and gravy. But those guys, you know, you got to start somewhere with that. And if he can at least put the moves together, he can at least show the competence to read where the quarterback's going to be in the pocket, at what time, where to climb, all that other stuff, then he's okay with me. So I'm good with that. I'm happy to see it. Whether he does it a ton or not, you know, is another story for the future. But also, Justin Thomas, a guy who's been very quiet all the way through camp, all the way through the preseason for the most part, had a really nice game tonight, I thought. He popped a lot off the tape. He was getting a lot of pressure. They were using him pretty interestingly, too. He's more of a five-tech type guy, but they were using him inside as a three-tech as well, over the guards and stuff like that. Now, he only had two tackles, but he did have a sack, and he also had another quarterback hit. So that was nice because he was really – or I'm sorry, two quarterback hits. So he was getting in there, getting pressure, and at other times, he and Sickles were both getting in there pretty much simultaneously. So it was kind of fun watching those two go after it, a couple of rookies, a couple undrafted guys, and actually showing that they've got some stuff too. I think both of those guys, you know, as many as, you know, there's only 10 guys for a practice squad, but I think both those guys are worth keeping if they can find some other, you know, some more impressive talent out there. Then so be it. But I think as of now, for what we know is on the market, which we don't know much of anything, those two would be wise keeps because I think they're pretty good guys that you can build on for the future. both on the inside and on the edge. So those are definitely going to be guys that we want to keep our eyes on, that we want to pay attention to. Are they going to come back? Are they not? And, you know, I think that Sickles might surprise some people as well. And Justin Thomas certainly surprised me tonight, because he was a guy, like I said, I had a lot of hopes for coming out of the, after the draft when they started calling guys. And he was a guy, when I saw his name, I thought, that's going to be a guy that I'm really going to be excited to see in camp. Thought he had an opportunity because of his size, strength, and he has some speed and some pass rush moves. And he showed off that he could do it on the interior tonight. So that was exciting for me. Hope that he, you know, can continue that and maybe get a spot on this practice squad. Now, Walker did end up throwing a touchdown tonight later on in the game, got the Colts their only, you know, their score. He threw it to Liggins, 29-yard touchdown in the corner of the end zone. It was by far Walker's best throw of camp and preseason thrown together. I mean, he's thrown the ball deep, and he's thrown some completions, you know, 25, 35 yards. But that was perfect throw right into the receiver's hands. When he's in tight coverage, it was the best throw he's had. I'm not trying to talk down, but I mean, I still think he's garbage. I still don't think he's an NFL quarterback, but that was a really nice throw for him. And I don't think it's going to get him an NFL job anywhere, even as a backup or practice squad guy. But, you know, congratulations to him. He was able to come in an NFL game in the fourth quarter and throw a touchdown on live TV. So that's really cool. And, you know, that can't really necessarily for any guy be something that's underplayed. You know, that's a really neat and cool experience. Another one of the guys who came in, who's new to the team, was Wolf. He did really well, quality fundamental tackler, and it was kind of impressive to see him and a couple other guys, both Richardson, another guy that was brought in for running back, both him, Corey White, Culliver, you know, they all made some pretty decent plays, and it was fun to kind of watch those guys, because they really were learning on the move for the most part, and they did a pretty nice job in the process. You know, we also got to see some other guys get some quality play tonight. Anthony Walker led the team with seven total tackles. Corey White, like I mentioned him, he even had a sack, and he had four solo. Jeremiah George, one of the guys I've been talking about for a while now, tackle for loss, four solo tackles, six total. Spence was next with five, and it just continued to roll like that. I was pretty impressed with George. I don't know that George is going to make the team. I don't know that Spence is going to make the team. But when you look at how Luke Rhodes is going to be the new long snapper, he's obviously in there for long snapping. You know, that's his job right now. He just happened to be here in camp and stuff and initially to be a linebacker. So we have to look at the linebacking core. We got Bostic, we got Morrison. You know, where does it go after that? Because, you know, Bostic would be number four in my eyes right now. And, you know, Walker, is he that impressive? I'm impressed with him compared to what I thought he was going to be. I'll give him that. But you've got George, you've got Spence, you've got a lot of other guys. I still like Darnell Sankey. I still think Sankey's a pretty nice ball player. You know, whether he's able to do anything or make the team or anything like that. He only had one tackle tonight, but he led the team the night before, you know, last week in tackles. So there's a lot to go off there. And I think that when it comes down to it, I think that the Colts are going to have some quality guys on this roster. Now we're in the weird period. Okay. These guys have all put their hearts on the line. They've all put everything they had for four preseason games all through camp to try to make this roster. And now we've got over 1,100 guys over the next 48 hours who are going to be cut from 32 NFL teams. What are the Colts going to do? I touched on this earlier on Stampede Blue in an article, and I think that, you know, the offensive line, I think that linebacker could even be a target, a secondary, you know, offensive line. There's going to be a lot tight end. There's going to be a lot of positions that I think the Colts are going to be looking to upgrade. So even after the initial 53-man roster is put in place, that's going to change a lot, in my opinion, between then and week one. You know, traveling to LA, maybe not a lot, but I think that it's going to be significant enough to where it's 2 to 3, 4 guys possibly on this roster that we don't, you know, that have not been on this roster yet this year. And going forward, the Colts need that. Not that they need the guys who don't understand the system or aren't familiar with the playbook. You know, kind of scratch that out of your head right now. Because if they come in, they're going to sit for a week. A lot of these guys, the 46 guys who are going to be the actives on week one, most of those guys are going to be the guys who know what's going on. There will be some of these guys who are new or some of the back-end roster guys, but they'll be used on special teams. They won't be used position-wise, I don't think, unless it's absolutely dire and necessary. But there's going to be some injured guys on that inactive list as well. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a wild ride. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about over the next, that's going to come up over the next 48 hours. We're going to hit on all of that Monday. The Colts win their final preseason game 7-6 over Cincinnati. Tons of cuts coming over the next 48 hours. It's going to be exciting to see who gets cut. There's going to be some surprises. There may be some surprises on the Colts that we, you know, have not expected. I hear people saying that they think Clark's going to get cut. I don't see how that's possible with the current depth at the offensive line unless they think that there's 10 other guys out there that are getting cut already. And Ballard seems to think he's got all the other teams in the league scouted. Maybe that's true, you know, maybe not. But I don't see how you can cut a guy that would be as quality a depth as LaRaven Clark would be when you had him as a starter literally 4 weeks ago. He was your starter. Now you don't even want him on the team. I don't see how that's possible, especially when you've got a guy like Vujinovic, Redman, other guys that you might be considering keeping on this roster. I think that'd be a bad move. So wanted to thank you guys again for all the reviews. Huge. We're up to almost 75 now. Almost got that second jersey already let go of. I will announce the winner of the first Andrew Luck jersey giveaway on next week's show. So we'll do that in the week one shows, and we'll get that out to the lucky winner. We'll pick through that randomly. Might let my son just come in here and pick one, to be quite honest with you, because I'm not real sure how I'm going to do that. But that would keep my eyes off of it. That way he can kind of do what he wants to do. So we will do that next week, more likely towards the end of the week. I think that would fit better. So that might appease you guys. So I'm excited to give that away. We're excited to give another one away. And I appreciate all that you guys are doing to make this show grow. It's doing great, and I can't thank you guys enough. Make sure you guys are visiting Stampede Blue. Follow me on Twitter at MDainley_NFL. And I will talk to you guys all next week right here on the Colts Cast.